Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh man, what a brilliant point here by Jake Eaton. Jake Eaton is a conservative political campaign consultant, but they were talking about this letter to the editor. This letter to the editor that was sent to the Bozeman Daily Chronicle, Knutson v. Cromwell. First off, John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house here on this Tuesday. John, great to see you as always. Have you been following this story out of Gallatin County, where the Gallatin County attorney has been standing in the way of ICE? Well, and then Attorney General Austin Knutson weighed in with his legal opinion and went after this far-left Soros-style prosecutor for blocking this agreement with ICE to help get these illegal aliens out of the Gallatin Valley. Well, somebody claimed that the only reason the Attorney General is doing this is for publicity. And it's like, but the point that Jake Eaton made was, well, if this was about publicity, the Attorney General's office would be talking about all of the felony cases that the Montana DOJ has had to pick up because Cromwell can't keep up with her own job. He says they have the Department of Justice here in Montana is prosecuting more cases for the Gallatin County attorney than any one big county in the state. Wow, that's kind of – so here you have the Gallatin County attorney that's standing in the way of an agreement with ICE, providing cover for these criminal illegal aliens, but she can't even do her own job and can't even handle the caseload in front of her.
And that's the – sorry to say, that's the point that I brought up on your show how many times. That's what we saw as federal agents here in Montana, is that your local big city criminal justice systems were completely and utterly dysfunctional. We never took cases to them ever because you take a felony drug case to them, drop it on them. You turn around 3, 4, 5, 6 months later, it's been dismissed or pled down to a misdemeanor, gone, proof. Or even if you get the felony prosecuted, they get no time in jail. There's absolutely no reason to ever take it to them. So, yeah, you can see how a guy like Austin Knutson is stepping up and saying, no, we got to have some of these cases prosecuted.
Well, not only that, but A, he's the attorney general for the state. B, he grew up on a ranch in northeastern Montana, so he cares about this state. And he attended Montana State University, so he loves the city of Bozeman, and he despises what the far left is doing to Gallatin County right now by providing aid and comfort essentially to these criminal illegal aliens that have flooded Gallatin County like nowhere else in the state.
And Jake is absolutely right, and they should be. I would like to hear out of the AG's office him telling the entire state of Montana how many times we have to prosecute these cases for these local jurisdictions because they're not doing their job.
Yeah, I should find out, because he doesn't have the biggest staff either at the Montana DOJ, but yet they have to pick up the slack because you've got these Soros-style prosecutors that, oh, I'm so busy. I've got time to, write a full opinion standing in the way of ICE, but, oh, I'm too busy to prosecute all these felony criminal cases. Or they're wasting time on these environmental wacko lawsuits.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. Speaking of judges, county attorneys, the justice system here in Montana, John, to me, this is a massive scandal, what just came out of the Montana Supreme Court. The liberal Montana Free Press has this headline: Supreme Court's opinion on legal fees spirals into claims of political bias. Dissenting Justice Jim Rice accused the court's majority of bias against Governor Greg Gianforte, of course, the Republican governor. But of course, it's also a bias against the Republican dominated legislature as well. But I think there's more to this, John. So basically the left-wing majority on the Montana Supreme Court, it's a case regarding legal fees. There, here's what the Free Press writes. Montana's governor will have to pay the legal bills of the Montana Environmental Information Center and Earthworks under a state Supreme Court ruling issued May 29th. Supreme Court justices split 4-3 on the decision, with of you know Justice Rice accusing the majority of bias against Republicans. Justice Lori McKinnon, who authored the opinion for the majority, called Rice's dissent inappropriate and unprofessional, while also leveling the criticism at newly elected Chief Justice Corey Swanson. First off, does Justice Lori McKinnon even live in Montana? She was back on the East Coast, likely in violation of the Montana Constitution, not even living here while supposedly working as a justice on the Montana Supreme Court. But, John, it's not the governor that's going to pay the legal bills for these radical environmental groups. It's you and me and the taxpayers, the people of Montana. The point that Chief Justice Swanson made is that the legislature has always decided what attorneys' awards, what those levels would be. It's treated on a case-by-case basis. But now what the liberal mob on the Montana Supreme Court wants to do is every time they want to not only side with their buddies in these radical environmental groups, they want you and I to then be forced to give them a whole pile of money.
Well, was that the ruling? Well, first of all, did that ruling say that from here on out all of these plaintiffs get their legal fees paid? Is that what they were saying?
Well, that's what it sounds like here. So Chief Justice Corey Swanson, this comes from the Lee newspaper's report here, argued that such decisions should remain case by case and that the legislature, not the court, should mandate fee awards. So that leads you to believe that they're now saying that oh, yeah, these massive attorney's fees should be included in every ruling, every challenge against the state.
We need David Noble to weigh in on this, because I think a lot of times if the plaintiff wins, if they win their case, then a lot of times attorney's fees are included. But, of course, if you lose, you don't get anything. Did they win this case?
Did who win this case?
The plaintiffs.
Yes. Yeah, 4-3 decision.
No. I'm saying the case that the fees are based on.
So the case is basically these radical environmental groups filed a case against the state of Montana, and now they're saying, oh, well, you have to, because they ruled on our behalf, now you have to pay all of our legal fees. And, of course, they have these outrageous legal fees. It's kind of like there's $3.2 million in attorney's fees in a separate case. And remember the Held v. Montana Climate Kids lawsuit?
Fussy bussy.
Those left-wing lawyers now are asking for $3.2 million in fees for that case as well. But my point is, the reason why I think this is such a massive scandal is that basically these liberal justices on the Montana Supreme Court are taking money out of your pocket and my pocket and putting it in the pockets of their political supporters.
Oh, yeah.
That's what this is all about. They want to not only rule on the behalf of these left-wing environmental groups, they want to then use that ruling to take your money and put it in their pockets to help them politically.
But I'll tell you how you do this, and maybe the legislature could deal with this, is make the reverse apply. Okay, when these people file these lawsuits and they lose, now you have to pay the government's legal fees, right? Make them do that. Reverse the process on them, too. Okay, you want us to pay when you win? Then you got to pay when you lose.
But the challenge there is what we've seen with a lot of these district court judges, many of whom were appointed by Democrat governors, and the liberal majority on the Montana Supreme Court, is it doesn't matter how absurd your case is, they will make sure that you win.
Oh, sure. That's what's killed us, Aaron. You know, the old saying that the left destroys everything they touch, and they do. You know, starting with Obama, all of this started with Obama. Now, think back, but pre-Obama, you know, when you were a kid or whatever, you saw that guy in those black robes with that gavel. You just had so much respect for that man and his institution. He was the representation of the law, right? Do you feel that way today? No. No, you don't. You see them as jokes. You see them as just hack activists wearing robes. And see, that's part of our whole system of government is that respect for truth, respect for government, all that. And when all of that goes, when all of that goes, we don't have anything left.
Well, and that's why you would think that all of these judge says this about Trump's policies, judge says that. The way these federal judges are trying to stand in the way of President Trump's efforts to secure this country, you would think that they would realize that they are losing the trust of the American people, that they look like a joke. Same thing with the Montana Supreme Court. But I don't know if they care, because what does the left want to do? The left wants to transform the United States of America into something else. How do they do that? They have to destroy everything. They have to destroy everything that exists right now, tear down these institutions, tear down the trust of these institutions so they can turn it into something else. So makes you think that all of this is by design.
Oh, it is.
They are deliberately undermining trust and deliberately undermining justice to push their agenda.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, John, the other thing that's really interesting about this story out of the Montana Supreme Court is that Jim Rice. Now, Jim Rice was always considered to lean conservative back in the day. But in more recent years, I think Jim Rice had also frustrated a lot of conservatives with his opinions coming out of the Montana Supreme Court. But that's what to me is also very interesting about this Montana Supreme Court report here from Tom Luty. Is how Tom Luty is, or no, I'm sorry, how Justice Jim Rice is calling out the current majority on the Montana Supreme Court for their partisanship, how Jim Rice is calling them out for basically undermining the trust and confidence of the people of Montana. He basically at one point said, this is another case where the court has jettisoned long-established governing authority and backfilled the vacuum with its own preferences to weaponize the law, whether it be statute or the private attorney general doctrine, against them. And that's what then set off Justice Lori McKinnon. But man, when you've now lost Jim Rice, who had been siding with these guys on some things, I think that tells you just how bad the current majority of the Montana Supreme Court is, which is why the Supreme Court elections here in Montana next year are so important. You've got Dan Wilson, the judge out of Flathead County, running once again versus this judge, Amy Eddy, who's also a Flathead County judge, but apparently she is very far left liberal judge. But, you know, the media is going to, you know, going to do everything they can to prop her up. And then, of course, she'll benefit from these Democrat dark money mega donors, et cetera.
That's the problem. And that's what everybody that hears the sound of your voice every day out here in Montana needs to understand this one thing. When you come to the people wearing the black robes here in the state of Montana, the judiciary, you might as well be living in Colorado or New York or Washington State or Oregon. That's how bad these people are. And 95% of them got to go. I mean, 95% of them got to go, and you need to be paying attention to every time an election comes up, and you need to be listening, research who that person is, you know, message in to the Aaron Flint show, have him let you know, and go out there and not only vote, but vote for the right person.
Well, and start raising money right now for, you know, Supreme Court candidates like Dan Wilson, so you can get those campaign commercials out, so you can get those campaign mailers out and everything. It's just our side, you know, people with everyday common sense views like you and I, they get all whipped up into a frenzy about presidential elections and congressional stuff. And it's like, folks, this is what is killing our state right now.
And I tell you something, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Stop being gaslit by these candidates out here that their one big thing on their billboard is third generation Montana born on a ranch. Let me tell you, that means exactly jack and squat. I mean, it means absolutely nothing. I want to know what their political philosophy is, what their government governing philosophy is. Where you were born and how many generations your family been here means absolutely nothing.
All right, let's go to Gary and Terry on the phone lines. By the way, we've got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. Gary, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Yes. Having consulted for over 40 years the major corporations, both in the United States, Canada, and Europe, are a subject which is sadly lacking in our government and its agencies. It's called intellectual integrity, which requires vigilance by the customer, in the case of businesses, by employees. There's a difference between efficiency and effectiveness. Each of our politicians have taken a vow, which they immediately put in the second drawer of their desk and don't bother to read it. It's time for the people of Montana to stand up, and if I had the power, I would create the Vigilance Committee of Montana. Vigilance Committee would look at what's going on around them and say, why? And ask the five basic questions.
Kind of like almost like a DOGE, but even more, you know, focused on upholding the oath of office, et cetera. All right. Well, Gary, thanks for the call. John, he must have been sitting out on his front porch there. I could hear that Western Meadowlark. Could you hear that?
Hear the bird, yeah.
Yeah, that was I love that Western Meadowlark sound, man. I wish I was sitting out on the prairie right now. So,
oh man, our buddy Blue that does the podcast with us was he's out walking every time that we do the podcast, and I swear he sounds like he's got these birds like right on his arms. They are so loud, tweet 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 tweet, right in the microphone.
Yeah, I always like it when somebody calls in and they're all fired up about something, you know. Well, Joe Biden let all these illegals in, and then all of a sudden the dogs start barking in the background. Oh, sorry, let me put the dogs away now. Hold on now.
Who's the caller that's got that parrot?
That's Clinton Bozeman.
Clint, there you go.
Yep, it'll happen. Yeah, it's fun. No, we get some great calls, that's for sure. Well, speaking of sitting out on your front porch, Bill Clinton. Remember when Bill Clinton was like the young politician?
Oh, yeah.
And, man, Bill Clinton, he's really getting up there now. He almost sounds like he's as lost in the sauce as Joe Biden some days.
Well, you know, that heart operation, that heart ailment he had just did him in. I mean, you saw him before and after that. It's like two different guys. He came out of there frail. He lost about 30, 40 pounds. Looked like he'd aged 10 years. That really did him in.
Yeah, so... But he still got his smoothness, though. I mean, even though he sounds a little, you know, because remember back in the day, old Slick Willie, Bill Clinton was like, well, let me tell you, John, I just want to protect the children and drink some nice coffee and run to McDonald's. Now he's kind of like, Joe Biden's really fast. He's fully with it. So he knows how to stick to his talking points. Like, the whole world is now finally openly admitting what we all saw with our own eyes, which was Joe Biden was lost in the sauce. But Bill Clinton, here's a clip from Laura Ingraham's program last night with Raymond Arroyo. Bill Clinton, boy, he's still sticking to the talking points.
Did you ever have a moment with him where you thought maybe he was unfit to run for president? No.
I thought he was a good president. I had never seen him and walked away thinking he can't do this anymore. He was always on top of his brief.
You never saw any cognitive decline?
So I didn't know anything about any of this, and I haven't read the book. I saw President Biden not very long ago, and I thought he was in good shape.
Good shape.
Come on.
I'm worried that Clinton may be in mental decline now. I mean, how can you not see a diminished former president and a politically ambitious wife who may be pushing him to do things that he does? Oh, wait. Bill Clinton. Sorry. I can see why he might not see that.
Depends on what the meaning of the word shape is.
Good shape.
Define it for us.
He did not have intellectual evaluations with that man.
Oh, no.
Oh, that was my favorite part. That's why I had to run it. I had to run with it a little bit. He did not have mental health. Oh, man, that was good.
See, Bill Clinton knows. You know, he's the former president. The guy's the pro of all pros at politics. He knows he's not going to be the headline tomorrow about former President Bill Clinton admits that Biden was out of his head, you know, was cabbage brain. He knows that will be the headline
he
tomorrow.
He says he thought Joe Biden was a good president. Oh, man. I mean, that is just pathetic. It's just like, Bill, if people thought you had problems with the truth before, hey, way to double down, brother.
Yeah,
way
he's,
to
he's
double
just
down.
Not going to be the headline tomorrow. He knows better than that. I mean, the guy's a pro.
All right. Jim in Great Falls. Jim, what do you think? John says, look, when it comes to these candidates, I don't need to hear about your bio, where you were born, et cetera. Tell me what you believe in. What's your thoughts, Jim?
I can agree to that to a certain extent, but we're all multiple generational Montanans who get tired of hearing about John getting his information out of the glove box in his truck, that it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter to the multiple generations here, so don't trip over the border on the way back to where you were hatched. Be careful who you point fingers at, because it does matter to some of us. But in the political realm, no, it doesn't matter your multiple generations. But having said that, there is some pride in that. So quit poking at the people that do have pride in that.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, we hear you there, Jim. Yeah, Jim, the Montana stuff, it's like the terminology. It's always, I always get a kick out of Jim because one day we were talking about, you know, beef is what's for dinner. And he's like, it's supper, not dinner. Come on now. And then he had to promote lamb at the same time, too, which is all good. There's some great Montana lamb if you've ever gotten it out of Sweetgrass County. Jim, good to hear from you. But, yeah, the point is that you can have these people that will come up. Like John Tester was a classic example of this. Well, I'm from Big Sandy, and I'm just a farmer. And, oh, after I lose the election, I'm just going back to the farm. Well, what's he doing now? He just took a new job with a super PAC.
Oh, yeah.
After he spent all those years complaining about super PACs. He took the MSNBC contributor job. And yet he and the liberal media in Montana ran with this, I'm just a poor old dirt farmer shtick the entire time, lied about him being a moderate, just like they lied about Joe Biden being with it.
Well, first of all, back to the original point. Don't be gaslit by these people pumping that up as their philosophy, all right? And second, just FYI, Jim, let me tell you who I am. I'm from North Carolina. You know, OG, you know, the original 13 colonies. And if it wasn't for me and my people, you wouldn't even be here. There wouldn't be a Montana, okay? So I think I'll stay right here.
All right. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. We'll get to Chris in Columbia Falls. Plus, I better check the messages here on our Montana Talks app. What about the city of Missoula? The Missoula City Council just last night, if you guys haven't heard about it yet, they bowed down to their woke small g gods. The city of Missoula bowing down to the woke small g gods. The Missoula City Council voting 9-2 to make the pride flag the official flag of the city. So I guess it's the official symbol of tax hikes, the official symbol of transients defecating in water fountains in city parks, the official symbol of a whole bunch of, well, crap.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
A new sign of deteriorating relations between the U.S. and China happened Monday as China accused the U.S. of violating the trade truce the country signed last month. China's promise to take resolute and forceful steps, according to reports. The agreement signed in Switzerland led to a deal to lower tariffs on each other for 90 days while they negotiated on trade. Late last week, President Donald Trump accused Beijing of violating the agreement one day after Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent described negotiation as a bit stalled. A spokesperson from the Chinese Commerce Ministry said Beijing rejected the unjustified accusations. While President Trump didn't go into details, administration officials have pointed to delays in sending critical minerals to the U.S., which are needed by several U.S. industries, including agriculture. U.S. National Economic Council Director Kevin Hassett said President Trump and Xi Jinping will talk on the phone this week. USDA's April price received index for farmers fell 3.6% from March, but was higher by 12% year over year. The livestock production index fell 8% in April compared to the prior month, but was still 18% above last year. While the crop production index rose 4.9% from March, but was down 1.1% from last year. I'm Wayne Northblonde.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Let's jump right into the phone lines here. Chris in Columbia Falls, and by the way, the phone number for you, 406-294-0970. Chris, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Okay, John, how are you? And Aaron, you know, I looked at the way these people on the left have run their lives and had tried to drive us into the hole. I mean, you've uncovered so much, and the people are slowly waking up, maybe, hopefully. The square peg in a round hole was a aptitude test you gave, you know, a little toy that you gave the kids, and they would always try to get that square peg in a round hole, and they would pound, I mean, they would pound that thing into submission to try to get that in. And that's what they're like, you know. They have selective delusion, like you just mentioned about Clinton, you know, and they keep on and on and on. And there is a solution to all this, you know. So you got to teach people the difference. And that's what I guess we've been trying to do for years on this radio show and other ways. And now you've got some people in there who have taken that aptitude test, and they understand there are other ways of understanding, you know. So they look up their eye and they see things differently.
Yeah, that analogy of a square peg in a round hole. Chris, thanks for the call. John, I mean, that really is a good analogy, because their COVID stuff, their COVID propaganda has prompted a massive backlash. They went so far with this Pride Month stuff that I think now they're just seeing a big backlash. Matt Walsh, I'm telling you folks, this is a must-read piece. The real reason why Pride Month is now on life support. Boise, Idaho did the same thing that Missoula just did last night. Missoula is just trying to copy Boise. And after the state said none of these political flags flying over government buildings, and then Missoula did what Boise did, which was, well, we're going to make the Pride flag our official government flag. And it just makes them more and more of a woke joke as they bow to these woke gods. And they keep trying to force this stuff onto people. And I think it's just prompting more and more of a pushback.
Yeah. And like we said before, conservatives need to stop whining and use their power, just like Democrats do. Like we said, what would Gretchen Whitmer do if Big Fork was flying the Confederate flag, you know, above their courthouse? What do you think she would do? She would cut every piece of funding she could cut to that city. That's the kind of stuff that conservatives need to start doing. Use your power. Stop whining.
Yeah, well, and I also, I mean, it's kind of like I was kind of joking as we went into the last break. Okay, so the Missoula City Council, and look, Missoula, the city itself, the people, incredible people. All my kids were born there. Look, you get away from some of the crazies downtown and some of the craziness going on there and in parts of the university district. And it's still real Montana, still real everyday people. In fact, before all these environmental wacko groups started moving in and controlling city politics, I mean, it was a railroad town, it was a logging town, so much more. But they've just let these environmental wacko groups take over. So if the Pride flag is now their official flag of the city of Missoula, well, now that is the official symbol of 20% tax hikes, because that's what they just did to everybody, no matter how you identify. It's the symbol of transients defecating in the water fountain in City Park. It's the symbol of feces and trash and drug needles on the banks of the Clark Fork River, because that's what the city of Missoula has encouraged and promoted. So I guess that's what they want the symbol to be for all their crazy, stupid policies. But like I say, right now, it's mob rule in Missoula. And, you know, 35 to 40% of the people that, don't like all this nonsense are being, you know, forced to pay for it because it's mob rule in Missoula right now. That's why I wish the legislature would have passed a bill that would have required a supermajority before tax hikes can be thrust onto local taxpayers. If you want to take money out of my pocket, you shouldn't be able to do that with a simple majority vote.
What, you know what's going wrong with conservatives for the last 20 years is we're out there doing our jobs. You know, so what do we assume? We assume everybody else is out there doing their jobs, whether or not. While we were out doing our jobs and raising our families and all that, liberals and communists are running for government positions. They're running for office. And the next thing you know, you turn around and your red county, your red state, whatever it is, your red city is being run by a bunch of liberals because they're the ones that run for office. That's what we have got to change our whole mindset about that. Everybody out there that's a conservative that would like to do it, that doesn't like the way things are going, run for office.
Well, or raise money to support those that are, too. We always forget that angle, especially the Supreme Court elections and more. What's one of the biggest problems right now? Foreign money. We've had foreign money flooding into the politics in Montana. They've been funding ballot initiatives with foreign money. Hans Wiese has been funding the American Prairie Reserve. He's been funding these environmental groups to shut down our industry here in Montana. Montana's foreign money ban. There was a story here by the Center Square. Watchdogs warned that a new Montana law restricting foreign money in elections is insufficient. They say there's a loophole in this law after a handful of Republicans teamed up with Democrats to water down the law banning foreign money in Montana elections. Wait, are you surprised by that one, John? Handful of Republicans voted with Democrats?
Who would those be? I think they have a name, don't they, Aaron? It's like called the Nasty Nine or something like that. I think I've heard of these people before. And that's once again, you know, I said a minute ago that conservatives have to stop whining. And that brings it right back to that topic is, really, we've been talking about this on your show for 3 years, okay? They allowing these rhinos in their tent. Okay, guys, you see what this happened here right now. You've got to elect good leadership that will purge these people. You have got to get really, really good primary candidates against them and get them out.
Well, and really, it comes down to also, like we say, raising money and organizing a mounted campaign effort. Because a lot of times, you know, some on the conservative side or the Republican side will rant and rave, like you say, about stuff. But what does the other side do? They go out and actually raise money.
And put up candidates.
And then they pummel you in the primary, yeah. And you wonder why you lose. Or they think, well, I'm going to take over the state Republican Party. That will fix it. No, it won't. If what's the problem to address? How do you address it? If you've got a problem with a handful of candidates, then raise the money to campaign against the handful of candidates or support others that are going to run. But destroying the Republican Party isn't going to fix it. It's just going to help the other side even more.
WWDD. Again, what would Democrats do? What do you think the Montana Democrat Party would do if they had 9 of their people in the Senate and the House siding with Republicans to give them a supermajority so that they can pass all of these different bills? What would they do to them? They would be gone the very next election cycle, 100%.
The reason why I mentioned this story about the foreign money ban in Montana elections is because I did get a chance to catch up with Representative Braxton Mitchell out of Columbia Falls. He's the one who authored the bill to, you know, stop these political flags flying, but he also is the author of the bill to restrict foreign money in elections. He told me that yes, they watered down his bill, but he believes that the Montana Commissioner of Political Practices should have the tools and the authority to still block this from happening. So despite the watered down legislation. So that being said, tomorrow on the show, we're actually going to have the Commissioner of Political Practices, Chris Gallis, is going to join us to talk about this very topic. So that'll be interesting.
Wait, you know, what's that quote? Was it Andrew Jackson? He was talking about the Supreme Court, I think. And he said, you know, that's a great ruling you got there. Now let's see you enforce it. Right?
Yeah.
That's his quote. Well, see, you know, I mean, you know, that's a nice law there. Now let's see you enforce it. Because do you think because you passed this little law here in Montana that these Democrat communist dark money groups from all over, from San Francisco and New York and California, you think they care about that? You think this, they're going to be scared now? They're going to do it until you stop them.
Period. That's right. That's right. All right, let's go to Richard in Great Falls on the phone lines. Richard, what's on your mind?
Well, Aaron, I haven't listened to most of the show, but we talk about Gallatin County quite a bit, and the commissioners down there are all Democrats, and they don't want to cooperate with the feds, with the ICE and people like that. And how is it that our Attorney General, Mr. Knutson, can let them get away with that? And also with our governor being a resident of Bozeman, he hasn't seemed to have much to say about it.
Well, no, he's talked a lot about Gallatin County. Actually, I should reach out to him to get his particular. Actually, I think he did speak out specifically on the Gallatin County attorney standing in the way of ICE and the Gallatin County commissioners. I'd have to pull that up. But yeah, we did have AG Knutson on the show here recently talking about that very topic. And I think we'll see more to follow on that front as well. Richard, great phone call. Great to hear from you. We got to take a quick break here. It's our shortest break of the hour. And then John wants to talk Stephen Miller, ICE, and deportations. Stand by. Hey.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, if you guys are thinking, holy cow, this hour's going flying by. Man, how do we keep up here, especially when John Jackson, the Joker, is in the house? Well, if you need a little energy and you need some pain-relieving vitamins, too, check out Power Plus Pain Aid. I think you got a chance to hear from Lee Ettinger earlier. He's that Big Fork, Montana, U.S. Marine veteran who built this whole product. Because, look, he's just like so many of our fellow veterans, so many of our fellow Montanans. You work hard and you play hard too, and then you probably got that bad lower back from those years of serving. Well, that's why he wanted to develop Power Plus Pain Aid, where you have like a little bit of an energy drink, but you also get, without all the chemicals, of course, too, but you also get those pain-relieving vitamins, and he's got it rolled up all into one little bottle here. If you go to their website, drinkpowerplus.com, you can take 15% off your order. Use the code FLINT15 at checkout. FLINT15, get 15% off your order. Drinkpowerplus.com. All right, John, man, so much to talk about here, but I know you spotted something regarding Stephen Miller. So obviously the Trump administration is doing yeoman's work right now. Deporting criminal illegal aliens. I mean, by the thousands. I mean, the numbers show the good work that's being done. But the challenge is it's still just a drop in the bucket. 2 million gotaways, 21 million is the number that I think everybody is assuming was the number of illegal aliens allowed into this country under the Joe Biden, John Tester regime. So, there's a lot more work that needs to be done.
Well, real quick, you know, when you were talking about the Power of Pain Aid, I was just laughing to myself, thinking, oh, yeah, after 2 hours of listening to Aaron and John, you're going to need some pain aid.
Yeah, exactly. It's just painful having to listen to John Jackson. I think that's why Caden came in. He's like, oh, I've had to listen to these guys.
You had to give him a case.
He's like, I need one. I was like, here, take a box. Take a whole box.
According to media reports, Stephen Miller had a private meeting with ICE officials, and the word is eviscerated them for their low production on the deportation numbers. And he basically Stephen Miller did the Sean Connery line from Untouchables. If you remember in that movie, when they couldn't get a successful liquor raid, Sean Connery told Kevin Costner, look, Everybody knows where the liquor is. That's not the problem, okay? And that's what Stephen Miller was saying. Look, everybody knows where all the illegals are. Go get them. And he's demanding now, I think the number was at a minimum 3,000 a day they want done. And they've already replaced one acting ICE director who was not getting the job done. And if this guy doesn't get it done, then we'll replace him too.
Yeah, I was just thinking, with all that money they were going to pay the Gallatin County Jail to temporarily house these illegal aliens. I mean, John, you and I, why don't we just go set up a tent at the Bozeman Airport? We'll charge them, you know, a discount rate, you know, what, $100 a day per illegal, and we'll man the tent, and they can sit right there until their flight to get the heck out of here shows up.
Well, the word's got to come down from Pam Bondi and from the White House to tell every federal agency, say like in Bozeman or Billings or wherever, if ICE is going to do an operation, if they call you at FBI, DEA, ATF, whoever you are, you will give them as many people as they need to complete that operation. You will do it. So you have that force multiplier of every federal gun toter you can find.
Yeah,
in
and then
area.
The challenge is, where do you put them in the meantime before, you know, they get their due process to get their, you know, due process out of here? All right, let's go next on the phone lines. Let's see. We got a caller from Glendive. It's either Big Rock or it's Big Rock. I don't know if it's Big Rock or Big Rock. Either way, great to hear from you. What's going on?
Hey, brother, this is Big Rock out of Glendale. How are you doing today?
Hey, good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I got a little tune on this Missouri thing with him raising the gay flag. What in the world is going on? If they can't abide by the Montana code as an official, then they should not be an official of Montana. It's just that doggone simple.
Good point. They can't follow the law. It's the law. Now, of course, they're trying to get crafty and creative with how to get around the law. And Representative Braxton Mitchell says that he's working on a fix for the next legislative session. But I just think people look at this stuff and they just laugh at the city government in Missoula. Just what a mockery they are.
Well, like we have said, I coined the phrase years ago, communists will never stop on their own. They must be stopped. Any other red government out there, if they were told by state law, this is the flags you're going to fly, period, then they're like, okay, that's it. But see, these people are just going to go and go around you and continue to do what they want to do until they are stopped. They're never just going to follow the law and do what the public said to do.
Matt Walsh, in that piece that I've mentioned a few times already, he says, as we predicted a while back, the most irrelevant and low energy Pride Month in the history of Pride Months is officially underway. The LGBT movement is currently coming to terms with the reality that after years of browbeating everyone into tolerating and then applauding and then participating in disorder and dysfunction, people are simply too disgusted and annoyed to put up with it anymore. They pushed their far left stuff so much, the American people are waking up.
Oh, they came after the kids. That's what did them in. They crossed the line.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. And who was their leader? Representative Zoe Zephyr from Missoula. And so, yeah, there you go. John, thanks for your time. Great to have you on the show this morning. There's